JC Corcoran Podcast.
Mama got laid off in April, Daddy downsized in June. By the first week of October, the bank foreclosed our home. Now it's Christmas season, and my only wish is clear. Oh, my present comes in a great big box, so we got somewhere to live next year. Well, we lived in the car till November, then came the repo man. Now we get to walk to the highway to pick up the bottles and cans. So Santa's, you fill your shopping cart full of presents that you give. Make sure mine comes in a great big box so we got somewhere to live. A refrigerator box for Daddy, a chest freezer crate for Mom, a washer and a dryer carton for a living and a dining room. Maybe a clear plastic garbage bag for a window to see the sky, so we can see our reindeer flying by. Washer and a dryer carton for a living and a dining room. Maybe a clear plastic garbage bag for a window to see the sky, so we can see your reindeer flying by. Mama got laid off in April, Daddy downsized in June. By the first week of October, the bank foreclosed our home. Now it's Christmas season, and my only wish is clear. Oh, my present comes in a great big box, so we got somewhere to live next year. Oh, my present comes in a great big box, so we got somewhere to live next year. Oh, my present comes in a great big box, so we got somewhere to live next year.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, December 2nd, 2021, here at JCOnTheLine.com. 341 days left of our American democratic system as we have known it. I'm going to tell you, this is the last time I ever listened to doctors. You know, I had this back surgery 6 weeks ago. Yeah, 6 weeks ago. So I had a scheduled appointment yesterday with the back surgeon, and it's not going that well. It still hurts way too much. And I was asking him, is this normal? Is this not normal? Whatever. He goes and gets two of his buddies. Now I got three doctors, three surgeons, all in the room asking me questions. And they were sort of trying to act like they weren't disappointed, but I could tell they were. And, you know, you feel bad because these guys have spent their entire lives in medical school and residency and in practice, and they go in, they're trying to do the best job they can, and you come out of surgery, and it's a month and a half later, and you're still in tremendous pain, and you can't help but sort of feel bad for them. But at the same time, I'm the one who hurts. So yesterday, they're like, you know, we think that the possibility could be that your muscles back there are too constrained. So we're going to give you some muscle relaxant. And I forgot that I had tried some muscle relaxant years ago and that it basically disabled me as soon as you take it. Like 10 minutes after you take it, I love everybody. You know, one of those things. And that's what happened last night. So I fell asleep sitting in my chair watching television about 8 o'clock, and I woke up about 1 in the morning, and I've been up since. So this may sound odd today. I'm sure it sounds odd every day, but it's going to sound particularly odd today. All right, so here we go. One foot in front of the other, so to speak. Baseball lockout is official. This is the last thing in the world that Major League Baseball needs right now. Especially, you know, it's one thing when it's the 90s, and I think what the last work stoppage was maybe 94, that sounds right. I'm pretty sure that's correct. And the world was different back then. First of all, we were coming off the 80s, which, you know, it was just party in the streets. So even though the 90s weren't necessarily going as well, you're still, that's sort of like the frame of mind that a lot of us were in. It was coming off the 80s, and things weren't bad. Now, coming off the pandemic and the unemployment stuff and, you know, people just reeling from having endured 2 years of this, and now Major League Baseball is like, oh yeah, forget all that because we have labor problems, you know. The $40 million a year to play baseball isn't enough. The owners are like, yeah, that's way too much. And so we don't have any choice. The collective bargaining agreement ran out. And so we're officially in a lockout. And I'm telling you right now, as much as I've loved baseball my entire life, this is a really, really stupid thing that they let happen. And there's fault on both sides. And they just should have figured out some way to make it be this time when the collective bargaining agreement ran out that they'd say, hey, we've been working on this and we're sensitive to the fans and to the people who just watch the games on TV and everything like that. And we worked it out. We're happy to say we got this thing worked out. There will be no work stoppage. But no, you know, for all the talk there is about this Rob Manfred supposedly being a good baseball commissioner, but then when you've got, you know, a bunch of obnoxious owners and a bunch of obnoxious players and everybody thinking that they're getting screwed, including the networks, these Bally's guys, don't even get me started on this. So I believe it was, what was it, Einstein? It might have been Einstein. I should probably know that, but somebody very wise, let's put it this way, said, America is going to crash and burn eventually, and the reasons that are going to cause it are greed and stupidity. I rest my case. All right, I got a bunch of stuff to play for you. I got this Alec Baldwin thing tonight on ABC. It's a one-hour special, and they're going to do something again next week. Alec Baldwin, again, this is another one of those things where did he tell anybody he was going to go on national TV and make this claim? Because outside of taking a revolver and throwing it into a fire, a loaded revolver, which could make a gun go off by itself, or I guess there's stuff like from the 1800s, some old like Winchesters and stuff like that. I don't know anything about guns, but one of these really, really old guns, I guess if you have a perfect storm and just like everything goes wrong, this gun could go off by itself. But if you're not in one of those two situations, a gun simply can't go off by itself. It can't happen. So in this George Stephanopoulos thing, I'm not really sure how he plans on selling this to the American people.
Baldwin was interviewed by ABC News' George Stephanopoulos.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
How did a real bullet get on that set?
I have no idea. Someone put a live bullet in a gun, a bullet that wasn't even supposed to be on the property.
Stephanopoulos spoke about the exclusive sit-down on Good Morning America today.
You know, I've done thousands of interviews in the last 20 years at ABC. This was the most intense I've ever experienced. Well, it's so raw. I mean, as you can imagine, he's devastated. But he was also very candid. He was very forthcoming. He answered every question.
Is this the worst thing that's ever happened to you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think back and I think of what could I have done.
The interview will air on ABC in a primetime special event Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and will then stream later that evening on Hulu.
Like I said, I don't know how you sell that. Whatever. Now we got the Omicron thing going and apparently three cases overnight. The news broke that in Paris, France, they've got some cases there. This thing will be all around the world in 2 weeks. But you may have missed this from two nights ago. Jimmy Kimmel, who isn't necessarily known for stuff like this, but clearly it's just plain and simply had enough.
If you've been watching Fox News, you know that the real enemy isn't the virus or the do my own research geniuses who refuse to get the vaccine. The real enemy is Dr. Fauci.
So it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science because I represent science.
The man now believes he's a deity accountable to no one.
Dr. Fauci says he is the all-powerful Oz and we shouldn't question him.
That's a very grandiose statement on his part.
L'état c'est moi, I am the state. It is this delusion of grandeur.
Tony Fauci has morphed into an even shorter version of Benito Mussolini.
This is what people say to me, that he doesn't represent science to them. He represents Joseph Mengele, Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who did experiments on Jews during the Second World War and in the concentration camps.
It looks like Laura Logan has been eating Tide Pods again. It's... That is just so outrageous. Joseph Mengele. Let me tell you, screwball, something about Dr. Fauci, because I've had enough of this, and he's too nice to say this himself. This man has been working on behalf of the public. That's us, for more than 50 years. He served under 6 presidents, starting with Reagan, President Bush, President Clinton, another President Bush, Obama, Trump, and now Biden. Republicans and Democrats. To suggest that his politics have anything to do with his work or what he recommends, it's ridiculous, and it's a lie, and he doesn't deserve it. He didn't ask for this. He's not a politician. He's a doctor. His interest is in protecting us from disease. Remember AIDS and Ebola and the Zika virus? He worked on all of those things. And thank God there's someone who's educated enough and devoted enough to figure this stuff out for us, because we are not going to figure it out ourselves. And what are the thanks he gets? He gets scumbags like Ted Cruz, like Rand Paul, like that vile, inflatable Macy's parade balloon of dog Tucker Carlson, making up lies to take him down. And they do it. The reason they do it is so they can keep terrifying old people, which is basically what they do for a living. They scare senior citizens in order to get ratings and money and votes. But to do that, they need villains. To scare grandma, they need fresh villains. So they zero in on this tiny, adorable, tired man who's done nothing but good for the world. Dr. Fauci's probably done more good for the world than all of us in this room combined. I mean, is Malala here? Because I don't, maybe not, but that doesn't matter to them. They see him as a character in this real-world WrestleMania they've cooked up. They make him a heel, which is a bad guy, and they make stuff up about him. They insinuate that he helped develop the virus in China. He's part of the deep state. He does cruel experiments on puppies. They will say anything to tear him down. They'd say he invented mosquitoes if people were dumb enough to believe it. And guess what? People are dumb enough to believe it. They're attacking this friendly man from Brooklyn with a family. He graduated first in his class at Cornell. He's an American. President Bush gave him the Medal of Freedom. Even Trump says he liked him. He doesn't say that about his own children, okay? The idea that anyone would be angry because he says he represents science. He's a scientist. That's like being angry that a manicurist says she represents nails. He is a brilliant public servant who these monsters now threaten and accuse and slander and put in real danger with these disgusting lies. These nut jobs who follow them are threatening him. A man who's trying to keep us alive is getting death threats. Can you imagine that? Ted Cruz says he should be prosecuted. For what? I have no idea. Ted Cruz should be prosecuted for illegally... for illegally using a ferret as a beard. And I laugh. Here's the thing. When Dr. Jonas Salk helped cure polio, nobody accused him of eating babies. He didn't need an armed security detail because there wasn't a gang of uneducated morons threatening to chip him off to Guantanamo Bay. Everyone was rooting for Jonas Salk. Every family in this country was mailing dimes to the White House to help out. People keep saying you want to make America great again. Wouldn't getting a handle on this be one of those great American moments from the 50s we're so nostalgic for? We are lucky to have Dr. Fauci. And if you people drive him away because he decides he's had enough, which he would be totally justified in doing, guess what? We're replacing him with Dr. Dre. And I'm going to tell you something. If you threaten him, that's not going to work out well for you at all.
All right, I got two of these left. to play for you. Like I said, don't despair. Don't despair over this Omicron thing, because America could benefit in the Senate and in Congress if we had more people with a medical background who were running for office. Look how well things went having Rand Paul around the last couple of years. A guy so delightful, even his next door neighbor can't stand him and beat the shit out of him. Like I said, though, don't despair, because here comes Oprah's friend.
Dr. Oz is throwing his stethoscope in the ring. I can see a lot of excitement for that. Despite living in New Jersey for the past two decades, Dr. Oz is running as a Republican in Pennsylvania, where he voted this year absentee using his in-laws' address. But he promises to be the best New Jersey senator Pennsylvania has ever had. Last night, he announced his candidacy while kneeling before the all-powerful captain of the MAGA cheer squad, Sean Hannity.
And I've taken on Big Pharma. I've gone to battle with Big Tech. I've gone against agrochem companies, the big ones. Right, I've got scars to prove it. And I cannot be bought, Sean. Cannot be bought. Try Aquaphor's first ever ointment body spray. Turkish Airlines cares more about your flight safety than anything else. Today, I'm introducing a new way to help couples everywhere sleep better. Garcinia Cambogia. Because it may be the simple solution you've been looking for to bust your body fat. Lightning in a bottle. It's a miracle flower to fight fat. This miracle pill can burn fat fast.
Well, you know what? You can't be bought when you've already been sold. Dr. Oz is very active already. He's obviously been planning this for a while, because he already has ads running in Pennsylvania.
In every part of the state, Pennsylvanians are struggling.
The real age of your vagina is 73.
Oh, my God.
Difficult times.
How many of you have penises that bend to the left?
Require strong leaders.
I'll be the body, you be the poop, and that's our exit sign to get you out of here.
Push. No.
Leaders like Dr. Oz.
Your anus looks like your lips.
To rebuild America.
I have built for you, for the first time ever on our show, your own giant rectum.
Dr. Oz for Senate.
I'm Dr. Oz, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Americans who thought this was a joke. But I guess Dr. Oz really is running for Senate. What the
And finally, pretty much Steve Allen invented this thing, these man on the street things, and David Letterman used to do it with Rupert G. And of course, you had Jay Leno doing jaywalking. But as you listen to this short clip, remember, every one of these people is going to vote.
Are you looking forward to the holidays, Geneva?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any Jewish friends celebrating Omicron?
I do, yep.
And how do they celebrate?
Normally lots of eating, lots of good food, having people over.
Would you like to wish them a happy Omicron?
Yes, happy Omicron to all of my Jewish friends in Canada and the United States.
The hot new item, of course, this year is the Omicron. Do you have any friends who are trying to get one?
I have heard of people trying to get them and unable to.
Do you think they're better off waiting till after Christmas when everyone has Omicron?
Personally, yes, I do believe so, but then nobody's going to want it anymore, so they'll be everywhere.
Inhalable at Walgreens.
All right, well, don't smoke and skate, kids.
Not much to say after something like that, other than we're doomed. All right. The McAllister residence from the first two Home Alone movies is going to be available through Airbnb, but for one night only. The listing is for four people. It costs $25. Booking opens on Tuesday at 2 o'clock Eastern time. We have Thursday night football tonight. New Orleans hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Got that Alec Baldwin thing. You got Annie live tonight. Harry Connick Jr. is Daddy Warbucks. Nicole Scherzinger is his assistant Grace. Taraji P. Henson, Mrs. Hannigan. Late night tonight, Blake Shelton, Anna Gasteyer, and Rachel Dratch. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel has Nora Jones. I love Nora Jones. She was part of the tree lighting ceremony in Rockefeller Center last night, that NBC special. So she was probably hanging around in the building. Why not? New Stephen Colbert tonight. Bill Burr, one of the funniest comedians working these days. I'm with James Corden tonight. The Ghislaine Maxwell trial yesterday. Jeffrey Epstein's pilot testified that the passengers he flew on Epstein's private plane included Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Chris Tucker, astronaut John Glenn, and Kevin Spacey. Which of these is not like the others? Anyhow, that's good news. The bad news is the case, as it is being observed by some people, seems to be falling apart already, and that some of the testimony that has come out that is supposed to be damning to Ghislaine Maxwell will actually, in the final analysis, work better in her defense. So they're screwing up this one too, and she's probably going to walk. Trevor Noah is going to host the Grammys again, January 31st, CBS. Carlos Santana taking some time off after undergoing what they're calling an unscheduled heart procedure. Oh, those are the best. I've had a couple of those, quote, end quote. Michael Bublé hosting a Christmas special on NBC on Monday night. He's good. Birthdays today, Aaron Rodgers, 38. Britney Spears is 40. Nelly Furtado, 43. Monica Seles, 48. Lucy Liu is 53. Good Will Hunting came out on this date 24 years ago. Today in 1997, and Javier Bardem. I had never seen him on a talk show before. The only places I've ever seen him is in movies like No Country for Old Men, in which he played one of the most menacing, just that's the word, menacing. You can't come up with a better adjective to describe that character in No Country for Old Men. Well, now he's playing Desi Arnaz, and when some people heard that casting selection, they're like, what? Well, he shows up on Colbert last night and is the nicest, most polite, happy, smiling, upbeat guy you'll ever want to meet. And they showed a clip of the movie too, and Nicole Kidman playing Lucy, and the script is done by Aaron Sorkin. So at the absolute minimum, that one's got my attention. He died, not Aaron Sorkin, Desi Arnaz died of lung cancer 35 years ago today, 1986. At the age of 69. Oh, and by the way, if you didn't know, Javier Bardem married to Penelope Cruz. So he's got something going on. That movie, by the way, opens a week from Friday, week from tomorrow. And I've not received a notification on a screening for that movie. I'm sort of wondering what's up. And here we go again. Missouri getting on the national stage for all the wrong reasons. A Cass County man, the latest to sue Folgers Coffee and its parent company, the J.M. Smucker Company, challenging the accuracy of serving sizes and quantity listed on the Folgers coffee canisters. Mark Smith filed a lawsuit last week in U.S. District Court in Kansas City seeking class action status, contending that Folgers has grossly misrepresented the number of cups of coffee that can be made from its canisters. Smith contends the canisters do not contain enough ground coffee to make the number of services listed on the canisters. Based on mathematical calculations, the lawsuit contends that 42 varieties of Folgers coffee canisters contain enough ground coffee on average to make only 68.29% of the number of servings promised on the packaging. What pandemic? Jeez. And there's a big spray-on deodorant recall after a lab found dangerous amounts of chemical linked to leukemia. The only brands under recall right now are Old Spice and Secret, but they also found potentially dangerous amounts in aerosol deodorants made by Tag, Shure, Equate, Suave, Right Guard, and Brute. Who is still using aerosol cans of anything? And a 40-year-old woman in Ireland suing IKEA. She claims she was struck on the head by a falling flat pack and then was so dazed it took her 3 hours to find her way out. Hey, honey, last time I was in IKEA, nothing fell on my head, and it took me 4 hours to find my way out. And who passed this? Debt collectors will now be able to contact you through direct messages on social media. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau approved it last year and just went into effect this week. Now, let's see. Anniversaries today. Back in 1983, the equivalent of, I guess you would say, like the RFT, was something called the Buffalo, New York Street Beat magazine. Best morning show. How you doing, kids? It was me, and then they fired me. Not the people at the magazine, the radio station. In 2006, it was day 3 of the big power outage that lasted, for some people, close to 2 weeks. And it was freaking cold out there, too. And in 1988, I was out in Los Angeles, California, because they screened a movie based on a failed television show. We're talking about The Naked Gun and the star Leslie Nielsen. That's right. The only time that's ever happened in the history of television where something was on TV, got canceled, I believe it was four episodes, and they canned the show, and somebody said, no, it would make a great movie, and along comes Zucker, Abrams, and Zucker, and they made, well, I don't have to tell you how big that franchise got. So now, fast forward to the 2000s, and we're doing the old morning show on K-Hits 96, and they call us up and they say, hey, you want to talk to Leslie Nielsen? It's like, absolutely. You will never find a happier, more upbeat, friendly guy who's just full of the devil and carried around his little fart machine in his pocket and everything like that. He just thought that was funny. I loved this guy. And if you happen to have missed this interview back somewhere in the 2000s when we did it, I think you're going to enjoy the H-E double hockey sticks out of this. Our conversation with Leslie Nielsen, our JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day.
Hello, St. Louis. This is Leslie Nielsen with a message for JC and the Breakfast Club. Good luck. We're all counting on you.
And there he is, the man live from New York.
Great Scott. who was that?
That was you. We actually had the pleasure of meeting 10 or 11 years ago on the set of The Naked Gun. It was a great time.
Caught me. Yes, indeed. That had to be me, right?
Absolutely. And when I hear you talk, Leslie, when we hear you talk, it's just amazing. You hear those pipes. And I know that you did some radio a long time ago, but I think I know something about you that a lot of people don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes. Did you not spend some time in the Royal Canadian Mounted Police?
No, my father did.
Oh, it was your dad.
My father was a Mountie, yeah. He was on what they call detachment. That's where I spent my childhood, or why I spent my childhood, up in close to the Arctic Circle.
Well, what was that like, and what are your recollections of the Arctic Circle as a young boy?
I remember snow. I remember snow. A lot of snow. And I remember our favorite game. My brothers and I would play hide-and-go-seek. And we really enjoyed it because we, not so much the game, but we like to hear somebody saying, you're getting warmer.
He's been waiting years to use that line. I love it. He's been stored up. Yeah.
Did you lay yourselves open?
And by the way, how far into the conversation do we go before we hear the little sound effect that you seem to take everywhere?
A sound effect? What are you talking about?
Almost every interview that we've ever done.
What are you talking about? I don't understand. Tell me. I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor. You know, we have the Oscars on Monday night, and with all the hubbub about Titanic, people will remember that you were in the Poseidon Adventure. You didn't last long, but you were in it early.
That's when I looked up and said, oh, my God. And that's because I saw that water up there 800 feet above my head coming down on that poor little ship. Yes. Was a hell of a picture, a Poseidon Adventure.
What do you get paid for something like that? You're in the movie like 5 minutes. You have one line. What do you get paid for something like that?
God, I forget. It was not a hell of a lot, I'll tell you. I remember I did that picture, and then they had their schedule had me sort of like in the beginning, and then at the end of the picture, I was able to go to Australia and do a television appearance, a show down there, and come back and complete my engagement on the Poseidon Adventure.
Unbelievable.
I was happy to be in that film, and I enjoyed it. And the thing is that it didn't make any difference as far as the part was concerned, because people remember it, and they also remember I was in it. So what?
Sure.
That's about all you can hope for.
We had David Zucker in the studio with us about a year ago, and we were talking about, obviously, the original Airplane movie. And it was kind of interesting because when you got the script, and when people like Lloyd Bridges and Robert Stack got the script, you guys kind of had an interesting reaction. I had heard that some of the actors thought, you know, like, wait, what do you want us for? You want comedy actors.
Not for me. the moment when I got that script, I told my agent, I said, it's a comedy. Don't negotiate on this, except whatever they give to you. I will pay them to do the script, but please don't tell them that. And that was my attitude about doing the role of the doctor. I was yearning, just waiting to have a chance to do comedy. And this was my kind of comedy. And I know that we were talking about it the other day. Peter Graves was a little, he wasn't quite sure about the flatulence in the cockpit when he ate the fish, and you know, your lower digestive system collapses, you know, it disintegrates, followed by uncontrollable flatulence, as I'm describing this to Julie Haggerty as the doctor. This is what happens when you eat the fish. And there were things that, you know, he was wondering about. Robert Stack has got a fantastic sense of humor. And Lloyd Bridges, well, look what Lloyd did. He went on from there to...
Hot Shots and all those other movies.
Hot Shots, and he just finished another picture with Jim Abrams. But we always had fun doing the thing, and we knew that it was funny because when you screened it in the screening room, it was on a bigger screen, and people were falling on the floor.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, people can get more of you. It's Leslie Nielsen's stupid little golf video.
Yeah.
Available all over the place. Look for it in video stores. And, of course...
24th of March, yeah.
And, of course, whenever Airplane is on, you drop...
We're watching it.
You drop everything you're doing, and you sit down, and you
get in the crash position.
And you get in the crash...
Yeah. Assume crash position.
Leslie Nielsen. Leslie Nielsen, thanks very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. How much fun was that guy? Oh, I wish all of the interviews were like that. But I can dream, can't I? All right. Time for me to get some sleep. I've been up since midnight. This is just nuts here today. I may be loopier tomorrow than I was today. All right, we're here every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, absolutely free. We publish at about 7 a.m. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. You can hear them all because we archive them right here. Email me, jc at jconthelive.com, Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have yourself a great day. Talk to you again in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.